Good afternoon. It's me, your boy, Robert Enos. We haven't done a podcast in just a little while. I've been toying with a lot of things, just playing with it back and forth to see what really works, what really doesn't work, and how could I do the best job and provide for you the best podcast possible. So anyways, I'm doing this video podcast, so some of you will get the audio only. Some of you, if you go on YouTube, you'll find it on YouTube, and I'll put the link down in the comments or something somewhere. You'll be able to find it. I want to talk to you today about Israel. Now, Israel, of course, right now is this big subject because of what's going on in Israel and the politics behind it and such. And I want to approach it from more of a Christian point of view. Now, when I say that, the reality of it is this is not merely a quote-unquote Christian point of view. I just presented it that way because I'm going to show you some things in the Word of God. But beyond that, this has implications for us today, because there's a lot of people, well, I'm not a Christian or I'm not Jewish, so that means nothing to me. It should, because Israel is so absolutely important, okay? It's important for us as Christians. It's important for the world, because God's going to decide what he's going to do with nations. Individuals, yes, but more importantly, nations, based upon what they do with Israel. And let me share with you what I mean in Genesis chapter 12. Now again, if you're not familiar with the Bible, Genesis is the very first book of the Bible. And it goes all the way back even to the beginning, to creation. But in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, it says, I will bless those who bless you. And he's speaking to Abraham, who was the father of Israel. Okay, he's the one that founded it, started it. God did this through Abraham. And that same promise carried over to all of Israel. It wasn't just Abraham, it was all of Israel. He says, I will bless those who bless you, but the one who treats you lightly, I must curse. Now, I'm reading out of the, for you Christians, the NET, the New English Translation. You can read this in any translation. It says basically the same thing. It's just worded a little bit different. He says, so those who treat you lightly, I must curse. This is God speaking, so that all families of the earth may receive blessing through you. He doesn't want the nations cursed. He doesn't want people cursed, even those who would otherwise curse Israel. But he says, I must, because he puts his promise upon Israel. He puts his promise upon his people. And when he promises, he makes this covenant with them to bless those who bless Israel, curse those who curse him. That's the way most translations read. Then he says, I must do this because God is not a liar. He stands true to his own word. So if he says, I will bless those who bless Israel and I will curse those who curse Israel, guess what? That's taking place even today. Now, the reason, again, I wanted to jump into this mainly is because I'm seeing so many Christians, or those who claim to be Christians. They claim to believe in God's word, and they claim to believe Jesus and the words of Jesus. They claim to follow the God of the Bible, and then they curse Israel. I've seen so much anti-Semitism, curses towards Israel's and the Jewish people of late, that it's making my head spin. And many of these people claim to be Christians. Some I know. I didn't say I like them. I'm so glad the Bible just says love them and you don't have to like them. You know, it doesn't say you don't have to like them, but it says, you know, love your neighbor, love those around you. It doesn't say anything about liking them. And there's a lot of people that claim Christ that I really just don't like because they're knuckleheads. Because it's absolute foolishness to think that God alleviated or released us from his word and his promises that he put in the Bible. These are still real and these are still true today. The God that still says, I will bless those who bless you, Israel, and curse those who curse you, Israel, he still stands by that same word today. Now, I want to show you something. I will do my best to edit this into the video so you can see this clearly. But just so you can see this, I have two maps here. This is the world map. That's the world map. And you can see, even from there, that dark green portion of the world. Those are the Muslim countries, Islamic countries. I blew it up just a little bit because it's for the most part, not only, but for the most part, right in that part of the world of Africa, going up into the Middle East and even into Asia. So I blew it up primarily with Africa and Middle East and Asia right there. And you can see all the dark green are the concentration of Muslim peoples and Muslim nations. Now, you can't even really see it, even though I blew it up. It's very difficult to see because it's so small. But this little piece of land right there, it's a little, I don't know, in this, it's like a, not quite brown, but a tan color. That's Israel. I want you to look at that again. Israel is absolutely surrounded by Muslims. Now, why is that important? Because most Muslim nations and people groups, Islamic people groups, have swore to annihilate and destroy Israel and kill all the Jews. Could you imagine living in that little sliver of land in the Middle East, here next to the Mediterranean Sea, right there? Can you imagine living there and being surrounded by people who hate you and want to destroy you? Think about that for just a moment. And you say, well, what does that have to do with us? I know people who claim to be Christians that want to turn their back on Israel. One gentleman even said, what has Israel ever done for us? And they completely miss it. It's the utmost of ignorance for a Christian to want to turn their... I can't even imagine this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. But it's the most absurd level of ignorance and foolishness that would make anybody who claims to be a Christian to want to turn their back on Israel in any way, shape, or form. Now, listen, before I move on with this, you don't have to like or agree with their government. I love the United States of America. I love this country and I love the people, but I don't always like the government, especially the last administration. That doesn't make me want to turn my back on America. It makes me want to get the right people in government, because that's one of the arguments. Well, look what the government over there is doing. And you see, with God, it was about the land and the people in the land, not always just an individual. You see God having problems with individuals that were in key positions that should have been ruling better and well, but they weren't. But God still always loved the people. And depending upon their obedience to his word or disobedience was whether or not they were going to be blessed. It was their obedience to God that welcomed in or took hold of the blessing. And it's the same way here in America. Just like I don't turn my back on America just because we have some foolish leaders and some foolish laws, I'm not going to turn my back on Israel because God said, I will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. I'm going to bless Israel. I'm not going to be in agreement with everything, but I'm going to bless Israel. So nonetheless, check this out. So all the green pretty much wants to annihilate Israel and wipe them off the map forever. Now, why wouldn't we as a nation, knowing that God blesses those who bless Israel, curses those who curse Israel, and knowing that they're surrounded by enemies, why wouldn't we want to come and help them? Why wouldn't we? See, a lot of people say that was so long ago. That was 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago. That does not pertain to us today. It's totally different. Well, some things are different, but not the truth of God's word. Let me just read some things for you, just so you can get this idea. Now remember, God says he will bless those who bless Israel, curse those who curse Israel. Now here's something where, again, God's speaking to Israel. In Exodus 23, 22, if you diligently obey him and do all that I command, then I will be an enemy to your enemies, and I will be an adversary to your adversaries. That's right up there with blessing those who bless Israel, cursing those who curse Israel. In other words, those who come against Israel, God's going to become an enemy to those people. And that's still true today. Now, there was a prophet from another land way long time ago in that part of the world. His name was Balaam. Balaam was actually hired to come and curse Israel, because they knew this prophet was so powerful, whoever he blessed was truly blessed. Whoever he cursed was cursed. So this wicked king says, hey, come here, Balaam. I'll give you all the money you want, all the power, prestige, land, everything, anything you want, just curse them. So Balaam comes up there and he ends up blessing Israel three times. And each time he says, I can only say what God puts in my mouth. And every time, blessing comes out. Now, this was what many would say is a false prophet, a wicked prophet, out just for the prophet. And we have Christians today who supposedly are on God's side, blood-bought, filled with the Spirit, and they curse Israel all day long. But this guy, who many would say is false, he couldn't even do that. But look what he says. In Numbers 24:9, he says this as part of this overall blessing prophecy that he speaks over them. They crouch and lie down like a lion, and as a lioness, who can stir him? Blessed is the one who blesses you, and cursed is the one who curses you. So even though he was hired to curse them, he says, I can't curse them. But blessed are those who bless Israel, and cursed are those who curse Israel. And the original people that wanted Israel cursed, and again, wiped off the map at that time, they're no longer in existence. Go figure. Now, a lot of people will say, well, everything changed when Jesus came. And it did. But some things, not only just they changed, but they got stronger. And they shifted, but they didn't fully go away. In Romans 11, this is a chapter, talks about a olive tree, if you will. And this, the picture of this olive tree is the backdrop of what took place when Christ came and shed his blood and people started becoming what we call them today, Christians. Now, at the time, way back when, 2,000 years ago, the term Christian didn't come up right away. These were Jewish people, Jewish believers, if you will, that accepted Jesus as Messiah. They were still Jewish. But look at what it says in Romans chapter 11. And listen, read all Romans 11 verses 11 through 23. Great read. And you can see this unfold. But just for time, I'm just going to touch on a few verses here. In Romans 11:11 says, I ask then, they did not stumble into irrevocable fall, did they? Absolutely not. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel jealous. Now that's speaking, of course, about the Jewish people at that time. They fell because they rejected Jesus. Not every Jewish person, because the early church, for the most part, was 100% Jewish. Okay? Now there may have been a few that were of other ethnicities and such, but primarily it was all Jewish because it was taking place right in Israel and Jerusalem, which is the heart of Israel. So he says, when they fell, was it like forever? And he says, no, they did not. They didn't. Absolutely not. But because of the transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel jealous. So you and I are Gentiles. If you don't belong to the Commonwealth of Israel, a Jewish person, you and I are the Gentiles. That means the goyim, the nations, the people outside of Israel. And so when salvation came to us, it was because of their fall. So in that sense, we say, thank you, not for falling, but Lord bringing that salvation to me. Otherwise, you and I would be lost. Now in Romans 11, verse 17 through 20, I want to read this. This is fascinating. Now some of the branches, now remember, it's that olive tree. And the picture is, God taking some of the branches and breaking them off, those who rejected Jesus, not all of the branches. Those are the people that rejected Jesus. So the branches are people that are in the olive tree, which represents, ladies and gentlemen, I know for you Christians, you're going to have a hard time stomaching this. Some of you, at least, I don't. Judaism. Judaism, as taught in the Torah. That's what that tree, the olive tree, represents. But the branch, each branch represents a person, the people group. And God says, because you've rejected my son, that one is broken off. Okay, so keep that in mind as we read this. If some of the branches were broken off and you, a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among them and participated in the richness of the olive root, do not boast over the branches. But if you boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Then you will say, the branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, they were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but fear. You see, now I want to go back to verse 18. It says, do not boast over the branches. Those ones that were broken off, do not boast over, like, ha, look at us. We're in, you're out. Do not boast. Do not boast. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root. In other words, the branches that were grafted in, that's you and I, the Gentiles. We weren't supposed to be part of that group, at least initially. But God broke off some branches to make room so that you and I can be grafted in. And now, because of the root, which is, again, Judaism, faith in God, what we call Old Testament is the root that supports us. We do not support the root. The root supports us. In other words, it brings us life. We don't bring life to the root. The root brings life to us. You say, no, I get all my life from Jesus. Jesus was a Jew, and he himself said, I did not come to abolish the law. I didn't abolish the five first books of the Bible. I didn't abolish the Torah. I fulfilled it. And that word fulfill literally means to make, I made it full. He didn't get rid of it. He didn't do away with it. Many people have a foolish notion that Jesus did away with the law. He did not. He made it full. Meaning what was lacking in the law, he filled it up. He connected the dots. He made it real for us. And it's that that supports us. It's that that is the root, and we have been grafted in. So we don't boast over those branches that have been broken off, because the Bible also goes on to tell us that God can easily and will graft them right back in. What do they have to do? What do the people today have to do? Believe in Jesus. Do you know how many people, including Jews, are coming to Christ, coming to Messiah, coming to Jesus, Yeshua, their Savior? It's phenomenal what we're seeing in the world today and how God is choosing to do it. So don't boast. Don't think you're better. That's the root. That's what gives us life. And if you still have a problem with this, I want to... Anyways, I'm going to go on. In Psalm 122, verses 6 and 7, it says this, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love her prosper. May there be peace inside your defenses and prosperity inside your fortresses. See, God is doing a work. And what is our part and portion in this? As it says in Romans 11, we are to bring the Jews to jealousy. Number one, we are supposed to have such a radical, phenomenal, blessed relationship with God that it makes them jealous. But our lifestyle, our what we teach it, how we live, everything is supposed to capture the hearts of the Jews and say, that's what I'm missing and that's what I want. And unfortunately, when we have Christians out there bashing Jews, bashing Israel, saying we shouldn't support them, we get nothing from them. Let me tell you, Jesus himself said that salvation is from the Jews. Now you might say that, yeah, that's 2,000 years ago. I'm telling you, because Jesus was a Jew, is a Jew, if you want to put it that way. He has not broken off any of the commands. He has not broken off any of the promises. He has not broken off anything that is supposed to be a blessing to us. But he still stands and says, I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. Why? Because he still has a plan for Israel. He still has a plan for his chosen people. He still has a plan. He's not done with them. You might look and think, oh, look at him. He's done with them. He is not. You and I are living in a very exciting time. And part of the excitement is watching what God does with his chosen people, Israel, and what he does in the land of Israel. The glory of God, we're just barely seeing it right now. But keep this in mind. Why should we never turn our back on Israel? This isn't the only reason. Can I tell you what's going on in the world just a little bit? I want you to think about that. Israel right there. Do you know, in a sense, Israel is the United States' military base in the Middle East. We fund them. We take care of them. We give them weapons. We give them armament. We teach them. We train them. And for such a small group of people in a small strip of land surrounded by enemies, one of the most powerful militaries, pound for pound and person for person, soldier for soldier, on the face of the planet. And we're responsible for that. That's in a sense, not in an official capacity, but in a sense, Israel is a military base in the Middle East for the United States of America. We have been able to, or they, I said, should say, they should, we have, with their help and them with our help have been able to stop a lot of terrorist attacks, not only against them, but against us. A great staging point for American soldiers and such when we have to go into the Middle East, and we've had to many times over even in our modern history. And there's our ally right there, our really strongest and only true ally in the entire region. You're going to turn your back on your ally. You're going to turn your back on that staging point. You're going to turn your back on the place that the best place to fight terrorism, Islamic terrorists, is over here. Why? Keep the battle over there on their soil, not on our soil. I didn't say on Israeli soil, on their soil. They want to attack us. They want to bomb us. They want to do crazy things to either Israel or to all of us. Let it be done on their soil instead of our soil. Now, if we turn our back on Israel, guess what? Then the battle, the terrorism, the wickedness is coming to our soil, our home, into our backyard. Why would we even want that? It's foolishness all the way around. Spiritually speaking, biblically speaking, it's foolishness, even politically speaking, all the way around to turn our back on Israel like they don't give us anything. What they do is they give us a place, a staging area for our military campaigns against terrorists and terrorism. That right there is worth all the help in the world. But then when you look at the spiritual side of it, the biblical side of it, we can't afford to walk away or turn our backs on Israel. We can't afford to stop helping them, especially in their time of need. We just can't do it. America would suffer greatly if we turn our back on Israel. Always remember that. This isn't so much just about a Bible teaching, preaching. This is just about common sense that finds its roots in the Bible. So those who want to turn their back on Israel, claiming they don't do anything for us, why are we helping them? They don't do anything. They don't give us anything. That's foolishness and ignorance of the highest level. And they need to go take a class on this somewhere. And if they do, if they are claiming to be Christians, well, their church is not teaching them very well. So anyways, brothers, sisters, fellow Americans, and anybody else that wants to listen to, listen, we're not turning our back on Israel. I certainly won't. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I pray for Israel. I've been to Israel several times, plan on going again. My support is there for the people in the land and the land itself. Because why? I want to be on the right side with God. I want to be on the right side with God. I want to be in that place to receive his blessings, not the curses. I want to receive the goodness of his hand. I don't want his hand pushing me aside. So if that's you, let's pray for Israel. If that's you, stand with Israel. And then we will receive the blessing of the Lord. God bless you all. Thank you for joining us at Table Flippers. Table Flippers Podcast is a ministry of Greater Works Christian Church in Lancaster, California. You can find us on the web. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. Look for us at Greater Works Christian Church or Table Flippers. I hope to see you soon.